people of our great God. And with that, what that represents and what that looks like, how you've revealed yourself to your great name. That you are Yahweh, you're the great I Am, you're present. And I pray that we would be a present people in this world, reflecting the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you are Yahweh Rapha, you are our healer. You heal us, Lord. We ask God in Jesus' name that we would reflect that, Lord, in all that we do and say. You are Yahweh Jireh. You are our provider. You have provided everything that we need, Lord, in this life. We thank you for your great name. You are Jesus, Savior. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray that we'd reflect the great name as we worship you with our lips. But Father, as we worship you with everything that we are, Lord, I want to thank you for your word this morning. I want to thank you, Father, that you come to reveal yourself to us in new, fresh ways every day. And I pray that that's what you would do today. I pray, God, that as we open the word today, that the pages, the words on the page would come to life. And that, Lord, that it would feed our soul today. That, Lord, that it would motivate us. It would spur us on. It would feed us, Lord. That, Lord, that it would encourage us. And, Father, if there's some evil ways in us today, if there's some kind of thing that's not of you, that, Lord, that you'd rebuke that today in our lives through the Word of God. Lord, we praise you for correction. We praise you for edification. We praise you how you equip us. And I pray that you would do that just right now, Lord, as we gather around your Word. We ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So if you have your Bibles, you may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now I want you to know that we've moved into the part of the year that's really, hands down, my favorite. Fall is my favorite, and then we move into the season of Thanksgiving, and then into Christmas. And I love the weather patterns, how they change from hot to cool, and eventually to cold. Fall fronts come down from the north, they bring cool weather, moisture, leaves are changing, falling, fall is here, football is in full throttle, and this year, at least until last night, LSU was winning. Saints have made a turnaround, right? But it's always a good fall when the Saints beat the Cowboys, okay? I'm just telling you that. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's just a rhythm about the holidays. I think about some of the things that God has taught me through the past few years. I think it's no coincidence that there's Thanksgiving and then there's Christmas. I know that's a cultural thing for us, but I don't think it is by coincidence. I really come to believe that when you thank God for everything, miracles come. Supernatural things happen. And it's interesting that we'll be tuning our hearts to thank our great God, and then we'll move into the miracle season of Jesus coming. And I'm just excited about that. I'm excited about the change. I'm excited about what God does in our lives, through the seasons of our lives. And to say that we have so much to be grateful for. And you know, we live in a society today that celebrates Thanksgiving, right? And there may be pagans, there may be lost people, there may be people who think they're saved, and yet what our country is doing on Thanksgiving Day is gathering with family and at least thanking God for the meal and the bounty of the year before. God is being addressed. And I like that. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this holiday because we have so much to be thankful for. And you know, even when it gets rote, or even when it gets busy, and even when it just consumes our time, we get to take a look back and contemplate the work of God in our lives, especially as believers. And we can say, as David has said in Psalm 23, verse 1, that we've been studying for the last 15 weeks, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack for any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd because he provides for me. Whatever I have going on in my life, he provides. And I want to just say this Thanksgiving, let's point to the God who gives us all things to enjoy. Let's point to the God who has blessed us with wonderful life and wonderful things. Because I want to tell you this, there's an enemy, and he's called the thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. And you know, when you look at this thought of the good shepherd providing everything that you need and want, the word really is I shall not lack. I shall not lack for anything in this world. Even though I may think that I do, maybe, and I even maybe bemoan some of the things that go on in my life, if you're in Christ, you do not lack. You don't. Because of who He is as the provider in your life, in my life. And Jesus said it. Listen, I've come that you may have life. I've come to give you life, and it is abundant life. This thief, the embezzler, the pilferer, the kleptomaniac, that's who he is. It's interesting. That's what the Greek word is. It's klepto. He's the thief. He comes to steal. He comes to slaughter. He comes to render you useless is what the word destroy means. To put you out of the way, to abolish. But I've come that they might have life. Life that's real, genuine, active, vital, full. And to have it abundantly, to have it exceedingly over and above, more than necessary, exceedingly abundantly, supremely superior, extraordinary, surpassing, and uncommon. Amen. This is the life He comes to give us. And I want to tell you this. We saw this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about He prepares a table before us. I want to tell you today, there is a table before you and me today. You've got to open your eyes to see who this great God is and what's in His hand and what He's serving up today in our lives. And I want to tell you, it's wonderful things. It's wonderful things of life. It's the wonderful things of for our spirit, for our soul. And I want to say this, you may be going through crisis. You may even be going through the valley of the shadow. But listen, He abundantly supplies even in the valley of the shadow of death. Have you experienced that? You know, sometimes when we're going through that trial and going through that struggle, it's hard to see that. It's really hard to see it. But folks, when we open our eyes and to see His ways and to see how He works, I just want to say this. Everything in my life, everything in your life is a gift from God. It's a gift. Even the things that have gone haywire in our lives, God makes them gifts for you. That's how supernatural, that's how powerful He is. That's how He gives you abundant life in the midst of whatever may be happening in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the beginning of this passage. We end today with Psalm 23 by going back and remembering that really that's all He really had to say. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Period. That's all He really had to say to you and me. Because we can fill in the blanks. We can see with our eyes, hear with our ears, what God has accomplished in our lives. What God has given, what God has done, and what God has promised to continue to do in our lives. There's a thief, he takes away, but the good shepherd comes to give and give and give. He is the gift that keeps on. Hey, you got that right. He is. He does not stop in delighting to do wonderful things for His children. God abundantly provides for you. Listen, God abundantly values you. He values you. There's great value in His mind and His heart toward you. You may have a poor self-image. You may not think very, very, very good of yourself. There might be things that you've done, things that you have done wrong, things that you've repeatedly done wrong. You may be doing things right now that aren't right. But I tell you, God values you. In Matthew chapter 6, if you would turn to that with me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, He speaks of how much He values you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Just God provides abundantly. He provides for the physical needs of our lives. And you know what's interesting? If you look at your life, if I look at my life, the most of the time that I am worrying or fretting, it's over something physical in this life, not eternal. Is that your experience? You know, there's not going to be enough money. You know, I got to get kids' clothes for school. You know, it just seems like we come to the end of the month and we're just sucking wind. And some of you say the end of the month, just the middle of the month. But let me tell you, this God supplies for you. He abundantly supplies. And so he says in verse 25, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Listen, is not life more than food, and the things that you're wearing and the things that are in your closet today are the things that you don't, that you think are not in your closet and need to be in your closet? Is not life more than that? But I'm afraid that so much of our society and culture, and even church and culture, puts so much emphasis on the outer appearance of our lives that we miss dressing ourselves spiritually. Life is more than clothing. Life is more than food. Life is more than the physical things that God supplies. Matter of fact, he says, listen, I've already got that covered. Watch this. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? If he values the birds of the air, listen, folks, he values you so much more. And I think that there's people in this world that just can't get that. They just can't see that God would value them. But God values you. Verse 27. "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So quit worrying. Quit worrying about what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? Listen, the Gentiles, the world eagerly seeks all these things. Your Father, he already knows that you need all these things. Listen, he said, listen, the world does that. And we don't live like the world. We don't think like the world. We've got a new mind. It's the mind of Christ. We have a new soul. We got a restored soul. We've got a spirit that is perfect before God. We have a perfect God who provides. The world eagerly seeks these things. The world eagerly seeks what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? The world eagerly seeks these things. But God says, listen, if you'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let me ask you a question. You may be honest enough to raise your hand. How many of you worry about tomorrow? Oh, thank you for your honesty. Hey, yeah, keep it on up. Go on. Real high. You're worried about tomorrow. Okay, put your hand down. Okay. Why are you worried about tomorrow? Why? Are there some assumptions that you're making about what tomorrow's going to come? Because I'm going to tell you this. Men have been making assumptions about tomorrow all for all eternity. Assumptions that I'm worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, not next month. I'm worried about what's going to happen in our country. I'm going to worry and be concerned about all that when I've got right now, right here, to live a life that reflects the glory of God. And I don't know about you, because I, by nature, I'm a worrier. And I want to tell you, I do. I worry about tomorrow. I'm right there with you. But I want to tell you this. How many times have you wasted? How much time have you wasted today worrying about tomorrow? A bunch. And we miss what God has right before us, right in our face. We miss the blessing. We miss the power that God has for us right now. We miss the needs of people right before us because we're so concerned about tomorrow, about whether or not we're going to have enough tomorrow, when Jesus is enough. And I want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage you today to say to you that you have this God who abundantly values you and provides for you. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. They're here today, gone tomorrow. And it's God's hand that dresses the earth, feeds the birds, feeds creation. And He's the same God that will feed and dress you. Do you know this God? Do you know it and do you believe it? That if I will seek first what He values, then my friends, then I will stop the worrying, because I'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need today. And when tomorrow comes and it's today, I'll have enough today. I want to ask God to change your mind. I want to ask God to change your mind about tomorrow. I want to ask God to change your mind about today and what God has for you today. Because I tell you this, we're not promised tomorrow. And we can worry about not being promised tomorrow and miss out what God has today. You know what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about. But if you will move your face toward this thought that God abundantly values me and provides for me, and then if I can turn to my neighbor, you don't have to do that, to say God abundantly values you and provides for you. That's who this great God is. I'm going to tell you, when I seek first His kingdom, when I seek first the things that He values, then I want to tell you that God says, listen, all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about it. Just seek first what I value. Now, I want to say this. Matthew 10:29 on the screen. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground from apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than sparrows. Let me just say this. When how many of you are expecting right now? Raise your hand. Raise your hands. Real high. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. 4 families. I know there's more. Okay. Okay, so you had the picture taken, right, sonogram, and you're wondering, okay, does he or she have 5 fingers, 10 fingers, and 10 toes, right? We asked that, right? Are they normal? I mean, are they normal? Is all their insides inside? You know, listen, God has not only counted the digits on your hand and your feet; He knows how much hair is on your head. And for some of us, He knew how much yesterday, and He knows how much today, right? Because we lost a little. He knows that about you. He can count the hairs on your head. That's how intimately involved and acquainted He is to you and to me. Listen, if God has taken enough time to count the hair on your heads, every one of us in the whole world, I want to tell you this. Let me tell you this. Do you not see that you're valued? I got 10 fingers. I've got 10 toes. I don't know how much hair I have on my head. But I tell you what, God knows. And if He knows something so insignificant as the number of hairs on my head and knows that about me, just think how much more He knows about you. Just think how much more He wants to accomplish in you if He's even knowing the hairs on your head. This is how great this God is. This is how wonderful He is. He knows you. Why does He know you? Because He values you. And we must get to the places in our lives where we are valuing the things that He values. So here it is. This is what I want to do. I know that God abundantly values me and provides for me, and God abundantly values you and provides for you. And therefore, I want to replace worry with faith. Big faith. I want to replace the worry with faith. Because I know that in this life, there's loss. And I know there's things that happen. And I know they're hard. I'm not saying they don't happen. But I'm going to tell you, when you place your faith in who He is and what He's done for you and what He's promised, I want to tell you, it makes the suffering easier. It makes the hardship a little bit easier. It just does when our minds and our hearts are seeking our God. So I want to replace the worry with faith, and then I want to seek first what he values. And I want you to notice what he values. He values his kingdom and his rule and his reign. He says to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, who is the king of this kingdom? It's God. So I'm seeking him first, and I'm seeking his kingdom. His kingdom is his rule and his reign in my life, his rule and his reign in history, and how I fit into it. And if you go to Matthew, in Matthew the 18 and 19 and 20 and 25, you see great parables of the kingdom. And kingdom things are like this. The kingdom is like, it's like yeast. Put it in and it leavens the whole. It's like something that starts small but then grows big. The kingdom of God is about right and what's wrong in the kingdom of God and in our lives. The kingdom of God is about Jesus ruling. It's about righteousness. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about him ruling his peace and his life in our lives. And I'm supposed to seek his kingdom, not mine. Not the world's kingdoms. Not America's kingdom. I'm not supposed to seek that first. I'm supposed to seek the kingdom of God. Kingdoms fall. They do, all through history. But God's kingdom remains forever. And I want to tell you, there's no greatest certainty than the kingdom of God. Listen, a lot of us today, we're worried sick about America. I'm concerned as well as you are. But I want to tell you, there's something greater than America. And it's God and his kingdom. And I want to tell you, it's all over the world today. The kingdom of God is ruling and reigning. It's being advanced into nations today, where the righteousness of God and the peace of God and the life of God are flowing through people's lives. And I want to tell you, they're in communist countries and they're in Muslim countries, and folks are getting killed for it. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's advancing. Just a few weeks ago, we said that in where we go in China to work amongst the Hani, that 28 churches in a dark place have been started this year. 28 villages have light today. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's advancing. What's to advance in your life? The kingdom of God advancing in your marriage, advancing in your family, advancing in your community, advancing in our church. Where it starts with a small thing, but it gets bigger and greater and more wonderful than you'd ever imagine, because the kingdom of God doesn't stop growing. You may decide that you don't need to grow, but I want to tell you, the kingdom of God doesn't stop. Listen, when I seek first his interests, what values him most, worry and fretting and anxiety, it takes another place in my life. Let me ask you a question. Has worrying about tomorrow accomplished anything really great for your emotions? Huh? No. Now listen, I'm not saying that we don't save, and I'm not saying we don't work, and I'm not saying that we do proper and prudent things. Please hear what I'm saying. You've got to work, and you're working to God. And I'm not saying those things. But I'm saying, listen, seek first his kingdom, not your kingdom. And not any other man's kingdom, but God's. The second thing that God values is his righteousness. In other words, it's by righteousness, by God's righteousness, that we come to salvation in Christ. And so he values that, because when you come into this world, you're not righteous. None of us are. None of us are righteous in Christ. We're sinful. We're sinners when we come into this world. And we start sinning pretty quick. But Jesus comes in to change all that. And it's by believing in the righteousness of Christ who becomes our righteousness. And therefore, when he becomes our righteousness, our nature changes. We're restored, like we talked about 2 weeks ago. And we put on this new nature, and we're no longer like we were. That's the great change of the gospel. And we're no longer identified like that. We're no longer identified as this sinner. We're the saints of God. And I just believe that today. And I want to seek his righteousness, not mine, because mine is. My heart can be deceitfully wicked. But it's his righteousness that I put on. I'm seeking what is right in His eyes, what's right in His kingdom, and to advance that. And how do I know that? I open the Word of God and I find it. I find what righteousness looks like. I find what the kingdom of God looks like. And I pursue it. I look to see what the King of Kings looks like. And in the way He looks like, I pursue that because He's on His throne. His kingdom is coming. It is here, right now, right here. Will I seek it? Will I seek Jesus, the King? Will I seek Him first? Will I seek the Godhead? And I just want to say, when I seek Him first, then everything else just falls into place. It just does. And I want to ask the question, are you seeking Him first? Now, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29, if you would. Jeremiah 29. I want you to look at this Old Testament illustration. In this illustration, in this passage of Scripture, you see a God that really values His people. Now, they're having a hard time now because they've been disobedient to God, the whole nation of them. And God's come along, and God corrects, okay? God corrects us. God brings discipline to His people. And so the children of Israel, because of ungodly kings and because they're following after other gods, they are taken captive into Babylon. They're taken captive into Babylon. And it's not a very happy time for them. They're going to Babylon. Now, the prophet Jeremiah says, hey, listen, I'm prophesying you the truth here, and the truth of the matter is that you're going into exile. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying. You're going into exile, and you're going to be in exile for 70 years. And in this passage of Scripture, he says, you go and you have kids. You go and you plant vineyards. You build houses. You plant orchards. You're going to be there 70 years. That's what you're going to do. I love what he says. I think it's in verse 7. I'm not sure. But he says, when you land in a city, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. Love that. Did you see that? Let's read that. Look at it on the welfare, by the way, is shalom. Okay? So he says this. He says, listen, when you go into exile and you get planted into the city, I want you to seek the welfare of the city, watch this, where I have sent you into exile. And you pray to the Lord on that city's behalf, because in its peace, in its shalom, in its welfare, you will have welfare. Now, what I love about this is that, yeah, in the midst of I'm heading out to another place, because of my parents' rebellion, or because of my rebellion, and the whole nation's going with us, God's got a word for me. Now, all the other prophets are saying, don't listen to Jeremiah. God's going to come and raise up an army and going to come deliver us, and we're going to go right back to where we were. But Jeremiah says, no, 70 years of exile. But I want you to see this great value that God places on His people. Whoops. Wow. Notice, for thus says the Lord, verse 10, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Now watch this. For I know the plans that I have for you. Listen, I value you so much, I've got plans for you. The word plan is His ideas, His imaginations. It's the things that He's imagined for you. It's the things that He's designed just for you. God has plans for you. God has thought about you. That's how much He abundantly values you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even in the exile, even in the desert places, there are oases. Even in the hard places, there's good things that take place in my life. And I got to see those, that my God is supplying all my need. And so he says, these are my plans. I know the plans I have for you. I know the imaginations that I've been thinking up for you. I know the ideas that I have for you. They're plans. And I want to tell you, they're plans for welfare. You know what the word welfare means? It means the health, the happiness, the fortunes of a person or group. It means well-being. It means comfort. It means security, safety, protection, prosperity, success, fortune. That's what it means. He says, listen, I have plans for welfare for you. I have plans. I have plans to bless you with welfare. He says, I have plans not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. Not for evil, not for bad things, not for disagreeable things, not for unpleasant, not the worst things, not sad, not unhappy, not hurtful, not unkind things, not wrong things, not misery, not distresses, not injustice. Listen, I don't have that for you. What I have for you is peace. I have for you shalom. The completeness, the soundness, the welfare, the peace, the safety of God. That's what I have for you. But this is what you'll do. When you understand this, when you know this, you know I've given you a future, and I know you've given you hope, given you a hope, then you're going to come to me, and you're going to seek me. You're going to call upon me. You're going to ask me to come, and I'm going to come. You're going to come pray to me. I'm going to come. I'm going to listen to you. You're going to seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I'll restore your fortunes, gather you from the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. That's my plan for you. Welfare, peace, a future, and a hope. When we have Jesus before us and we're moving to Him as our shepherd and goodness and loving kindness is following us, I'm telling you this, it's a future and it's a hope. Not saying that you might have rough times, you won't have rough times. Not saying that it'll be perfect. But what I am telling you, you'll have the perfect one living in you. The perfect one you're chasing and the perfect one that's following after you. Listen, my friends, this is what God comes to do in our lives. Quit worrying. Quit fretting. He values you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need today. Everything. Declare it. Speak it. Live it. Love it. Find those good things that God's doing in your life, in our lives, in our church, in your family, and rejoice in those. And rejoice more in what God's doing than bemoaning what you think He's not doing. Because everything's a gift. Everything's a gift. And it's a gift from God. He has plans for you. My Bible says that He gives good gifts to His children. He said, listen, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give what's good to you? Now, I had this little conversation last night with God. It was interesting. I had those from time to time. Sarah, ground, where are you? Caitlin. Yeah, just stand for just a second. We're going to do this in a couple of weeks, but just stand. Caitlin. Yeah. Just stand. Allie, where are you? Are you in the nursery? Oh, over here, okay. All right, these three girls, they're heading for 6 months to China in February, okay? And we were met last night. Oh, y'all sit down, okay, yeah. And so we had a sending team meeting. And you'll be learning about the sending team a little more in the magazine that Caitlin and Craig put together for our church. And they're heading that way, okay? And the Jobs are heading that way for 2 years. The girls are going for 6 months. And so we're sending three singles, a family of four, and then there's three or four high school kids that are going to go 3 months for the summer, okay? And we're going to have Cottonwood Abroad, really, okay? Really excited about it. And I was walking up, come over here to spend a little time in the foyer, and God said, everything's a gift. These three girls, these three young ladies, they're gifts to the kingdom of God. Steward the gifts of God well. Steward the gifts of God well. I said, well God, what might that look like? He said, well, what were your favorite gifts that you've ever gotten? Well, I got, at 8 years old, I got the Duke football. Anybody old enough to remember what the Duke is? Duke is the professional NFL professional football that was used when I was growing up. They called it the Duke, and I loved football. Got it at 8 years old. And God said, okay, second. Well, my dad got us a go-kart when we were 10. And then when I was 16, he surprised us, provided us with a car. He said, did you ask for those things? I didn't know to ask for a Duke. Go-kart, One go-karts I saw was some amusement park. A car, I was happy with the family station wagon. He said, I didn't even ask this. He said, did you steward it well? Did you steward those gifts well? I got to say, no. They're in the heap somewhere. Took care of it for a while. Let me tell you this. I know that's a physical thing. It probably doesn't mean anything to you. It means much to me. But I want to tell you, everything you have in your possession is a gift from God. Steward it well. Steward it well. Steward your stuff well. Let me tell you what else God values. He values His people. He values people. He values the least of these. And when God brings the least of these into our lives, we are to value them as well. And we are to steward it well. Steward the resources. Steward our children well. The gifts that God's given to us physically, but also spiritually. If He's given you the gift of teaching, steward it well. If He's given you the gift of giving, steward it well. If He's given you the gift of leadership, steward it well. If He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, steward it well. Steward it well. Everything's a gift. Everything's a gift. Yeah, even the hard times. When you get through them, you think, I don't want to go back. God, help me. I don't want to ever go back to that. But God, I wouldn't trade it for anything because I've seen it was a gift for me to change my heart, to change my life, to change my children, to change my marriage, to change me. It was a gift. God is the greatest gift giver. And I want to tell you this. This Holy Spirit, God wants to give you. He wants to give you the Spirit without measure. We think it's just this little thing. And maybe it is at first. But when we grow, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And it becomes more necessary and it becomes more fruitful in your life. And I was going to say, God said, hey, everything I give is a gift. It's a gift from me. You may think your dad got it, and he did. But I want to tell you, a man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from the Father. I'm talking nothing. We must steward our gifts well. I mean, this is what I'm saying. When God values you and He values all people and all the people that come into my life, listen, I'm to value them just as He valued me. I am to do unto others as I'd have them do unto me, and I do what God has done to me. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. We're going to close with this. I shared with this at the very opening, this passage, this sermon. Service, Isaiah 55. And I want to read it to you, and then we'll close. Look at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what's not bread? Your wages for what's not does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Verse 4, behold, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you'll call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, they're not your ways, declares the Lord. For even the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts are more than yours. And just as the rain and the snow, they come down from heaven. They don't return without watering the earth. They make it bare. They make it sprouts. They furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will my word, which goes forth from my mouth. It will never, ever return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Watch, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth in the shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Say this. When you seek Him first, the only way that you can seek Him first is through the Word of God. It's got to be central in your life. I can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody who's struggling, well, what's God been saying to you? Well, God's not been saying anything to me. What have you been reading in Scripture? I haven't been reading anything in Scripture. Notice what he says. I'm going to say that every time you come to church, every time you get into your Bible study, every time you get in your Word, you have an opportunity to leave that place being led forth with joy and led off with peace. Amen? If you know that, say amen. Amen. I know that. Every time. It's the Word of God. And he says, listen, the rain, it's accomplishing something. Listen, it's accomplishing something great. My Word wants to accomplish something in your life so that when you read it, you'll understand it and it will fulfill something in your life. So you get up and you're rejoicing. You're not weeping. You are celebrating. You're not mourning. You are skipping like a calf. You're moving because God has spoken to you. The righteousness of God, the kingdom of God. And that's my prayer for you today. Will you bow with me in prayer? Ushers, come forward for the morning offering, please. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Thanksgiving that's coming, and I can say that you're my shepherd. You abundantly provide for me. You abundantly value me. You are my shepherd, I shall not want. And so, God, I want to name the things that you've given. You have given basic needs, but you've given the kingdom. You've given us your righteousness. You've given us your peace. You've given us a future and a hope. You've given us the very life of Christ, the abundance of forgiveness and redemption and leadership of the Spirit of God. You've given us your Spirit, your Word. You've given us your church and all its gifts. You've given grace, mercy, favor, peace. You've given us green pastures and quiet waters, paths of righteousness. God, I thank you today. You spread a feast before us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God, forgive us for worrying. May we start thanking you and praying instead of worrying. Lord, may we name the things that you've given and move into the season with great thanksgiving to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, I pray for this offering today. I pray that we reflect the giver Jesus in it. I thank you for those of us in this place that take serious the giving of our resources. Those of us who will tithe a true tithe to you. In the name of Jesus. To those who give offerings today. To those who bless us with the church. Bless us with their giving. I pray, Lord, I thank you that when you sent Jesus, you sent your first and you sent your best. And I pray that today that we'll give our first and our best. And we'll go from this place giving our first and our best. Thank you, Father. I pray that you multiply it. And that you multiply this in the giver as well as this body of believers called Cottonwood. We thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.